Today on Happy Hallmarkies, we talk about the five-night Thanksgiving movie marathon. And we have special guest Julie Sherman Wolf joining us once again. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Everywhere. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are doing Happy Hallmarkies. There were so many Michael Bublé Christmas songs in all the movies that we just watched. So it was very fitting to have him.
That's interesting because I just remembered it from The Christmas Train.
Really? He was in like two movies, but they played like four of his songs. Yeah.
I knew there was Michael Bublé this week, and that was interesting because I don't normally recognize the covers that Hallmark uses.
Really?
So it was interesting to have him, which is obviously a very popular, very iconic Christmas artist. And Christmas is in the air. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so I hope everyone's, you know, bellies are stuffed full of turkey and other great stuff. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. Joining me, as always.
Yes, it's Stefan Lovegrove. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lovegrove. And for the people commenting on my sweater,
yes.
Guys, I have been waiting to do this all day.
Explain.
So I'm going to stand up slightly.
Explain.
So as you can see, are we framing it right?
Yes.
The sweater says most likely to be on the nice list. Super cute Christmas sweater. Thank you, Stacey and Trisha. But you guys, just you wait a minute. That is not a technical issue. You are hearing the sweater. I don't know, because it's silvery. Can you read it? If you push the sequins the other way, they're reversible, and it says most likely to be on the naughty list. So I'm going to be a Hallmark Grinch boyfriend for the hour and wear the naughty list side.
I love it because the naughty list is the silver side, which definitely matches the studio. All right. We have so many movies to talk about. We had six movies over this past week, and we have special guest Julie Sherman Wolf, the writer of Finding Santa, joining us once again later on in the show. So we have a lot to talk about. Let's start with Love Christmas, that aired on Hallmark, starring Emilia Ulrup and Erin O'Connell. What were your quick thoughts of this film?
Well, actually, my quick thoughts will involve both of those people. We love Emilia from Chesapeake Shores.
Yes.
Many of you Chessies who watch and tune into Happy Hallmarkies for that. So great to see Emilia. This was not my favorite of his movies ever. I still think I prefer a couple others, namely the Personal Shopper one that I can never remember the name of out of the three personal shopping movies.
Is that the 12 Gifts of Christmas?
I think it might be the 12 Gifts. No, it's not 12 Gifts. I don't think
there's
one.
There's so many
whichever one it is that Erin is in. There's other ones that I like Erin better in, but in general, I love those two.
It is 12 Gifts.
It is 12 Gifts? Okay.
Boom.
Marissa was right. So I like both of them a whole lot, and I thought it was a great movie to kick off the marathon.
Excellent. I did actually enjoy this one. It had a very You Got Mail feeling to this, which is great. Nora Ephron, I mean, come on. Winner. It had that type of feel to this film. I liked it. It was light, and there were good moments. There was a lot of good dialogue, and I think the setup was really good. I mean, you already have Donovan, who's obviously the Scrooge, or the Grinch, who's going to eventually his heart will melt and he'll soften and warm up to the Christmas spirit. But I liked how they got there. It was a nice progression. So what were your thoughts of the Secret Santa pairing up them together, trying to learn about each other secretly?
Well, I actually wrote down something that I wanted to ask all of you about. Do you call it, in your home or workplace or wherever you've played it, do you call it Secret Santa? Do you call it a white elephant, or do you call it just a gift exchange? Because I've heard it called all three.
Well,
those are different things,
this,
aren't they?
They are. In this particular case, it was Secret Santa.
Because white elephant is when you open them and do the trade.
My family does.
But Dirty Santa, some people call it Dirty Santa.
Really?
Yeah. Am I right? Does anyone call Secret Santa Dirty Santa? That's what I was getting it confused with. Well, anyway, I actually loved the setup of this whole thing and the way that they were trying to figure out who it was, and he was sure that it was the wrong girl, which is kind of similar to something that happened later in another movie this weekend. But I liked the setup. I thought it was fun. Of course, she gets the one person and they're now competing. I just loved it. I love the premise of they're competing for this promotion and yes. they have to work together on this proposal. And now it's the Secret Santa.
I liked it because we had obviously competition externally, which everyone knew about. But then we had them, which could ultimately in natural circumstances that would pull them apart. You know, they're kind of fighting against each other in that way, competitive.
I'm laughing because Julie says her husband received a used candle from a Secret Santa. Let me tell you, I've been the recipient of some disappointing gifts in Secret Santa myself.
Really? Okay. I usually knock on wood, get the better ones. speaking of the White Christmas, my family has a tradition. And we always had the same reindeer that goes, there's always one reindeer, and the one person who gets it has to put it into the rotation for the next year. I got the reindeer. So, yeah, what up? Oh, okay. So, side tangent there. I like this. But learning about each other, especially, it felt very 21st century with the text messaging and the emailing. But they were very sincere conversations. It progressed to more real conversations, more heartwarming and heart-opening, opening up and talking about, real situations that really bothered them or things, real personal things that they were going through. And I liked that brought them together, and I thought that was believable as people getting to know each other.
Well, and I thought it was very, such a Hallmark journey for him to be on. I thought it was particularly fitting, the commercial thing, that they're trying to create this ad, and they said it needs heart, because we all know, what does Hallmark do better than anyone else is the heart. They are the heart of TV.
Their heart of Christmas is what they've been saying.
The heart of Christmas, the heart of whatever season it is. Right.
Yes.
So I thought that was very fitting. Can we talk about, though, the dad saying, I think you missed your calling? I know that it all got resolved in the end, but I would have been hurt by that statement. I thought that was a terrible thing to tell your child.
Yes, I thought that, too. And this is our tertiary storyline, which I was pretty surprised with, that they had a lot of different storylines going on in this movie. But I liked how it got, there was some resolution and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it just made the father look bad when he's comparing his son to the other successful people in the family. Like, they were a lawyer, and now your sister's representing the Supreme Court. It's like, okay, I get it. You know, that successful family trade, I guess you can say. But I think the way he kept saying it's like, you missed your calling, you missed your calling. But then slowly getting convinced by Melanie to just talk to the father about it, and to actually acknowledge that it bothers you. Because a lot of people have that issue. Like, they'll just take it, but they don't acknowledge that it actually bothers them. But the fact that he did say, you know, I feel bad, and you know, that whole conversation, that he actually acknowledged that he was uncomfortable with that. And I liked how the father is like, no, I'm saying that because I'm proud of you for doing something else and, you know, being successful and happy for what you're doing, even if it's not
right.
what I wanted you to do.
And that's exactly the thing, is this is a different situation than Finding Santa, which, of course, we'll discuss in a little while with
yes.
Julie. Because in Finding Santa, there was they didn't follow the parents' path. In the case of Santa, but there's still, you know, it still wasn't ideal yet necessarily. Whereas in this case, he was like, Dad, I'm really happy with this. Like, I didn't necessarily do what you wanted me to do, but I actually feel really great. I love doing this. It's rewarding. And I think that sometimes is the case. So this had just a lot of interesting storylines going on. And
all
I thought it was good.
Wrapped up. You know, there weren't any missing plot holes or anything. All of them are fairly resolved and wrapped up in a pretty bow, pun intended.
Well, and you know what? I do have to say, I like the ones where the person is kind of a Grinch. Because sometimes it's the Grinch, but the Grinch is the boyfriend they need to break up with. I like when the Grinch comes around and ends up warming up their heart to Christmas, which we had a lot of this weekend.
We did.
Because that gives me hope that the people you meet in the world who are like, I don't like the holidays, could come around.
Yes. I mean, eventually you knew he was going to open up.
Of course.
One of the cool stories about this particular film, Amelia and Aaron both were at the hospital. They were actually on Home and Family discussing this story, but they were both at the hospital one day, and during the ice skating, you know, scene where Aaron actually got injured and he sliced He had a laceration above his eyebrow, and he had to get stitches and stuff. But Emilia was already at the hospital because she was having, like, stomach issues beforehand. So both of them ended up at the hospital on the same day during filming.
During the filming.
So you'll notice, now knowing that story, you'll notice when you go back and watch the ice skating scene, there's a lot of single one-on-ones, which was obviously green screen, too, because you can tell they're not actually together in the same scene. They're just, it looks like they're talking to each other, but they're actually both at the hospital because Emilia was at the hospital first, so Aaron had to do his scenes by himself, and then Aaron had to go to the hospital, and Emilia had to do her scenes by herself.
Interesting. I'm glad they're well. I'm glad they're out of the hospital now.
They're fine. They were talking about it and laughing about it on Home and Family. Go check out their interview. It was great. Anything else about this film that you liked, disliked, or more so liked?
Well, I did write down, I'm trying to remember, sometimes I write notes during the movie, and then I'm like, what was my note about? I wrote down, it reminded me of Chesapeake Shores with the dinner. But I think that might just be because it was Emilia. There were so many dinners. I think that might have just be because of Emilia, who, again, I was happy to see in this movie. Oh, I do have one more thought. And okay. I think I texted you this. Marissa and I had a movie night and watched all the Candace Cameron Bray last night.
Wow, Candace.
But I loved when she was having the conversation. Melanie was having the conversation with her friend. And she had that moment where she finally just admitted and she said it out loud and was like, I just really liked him. Yeah. And we've all been there. And of course, it had a happy ending. But we've all been there where we are having trouble admitting it to ourselves. And I loved that moment. I thought it was really sweet when she finally admitted it.
Yeah. So this film was written by Marcy Holland, who also did The Christmas Cure, which I really enjoyed, and A Wish Upon a Star, and directed by Marita Grabiec, who has done The Four Christmases and a Wedding, which I don't think is out yet.
No.
But it's something to look forward to. And Sleigh Bells Ring, which came out a couple years ago. Yeah, so if you like this movie, you'll probably like You've Got Mail. All right, let's move on to The Mistletoe Inn, also on Hallmark Channel, starring Alicia Witt and David Alpay. Thoughts about this one?
So I will reveal that we've discussed this a little bit already before we came on today, and I like this movie a lot, maybe a little more than Marissa did. I thought this was the perfect Thanksgiving movie. I just thought the selection of putting this on Thanksgiving was perfect. Alicia Witt is now a Countdown to Christmas staple, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, she's been here to the studio. She's super cool.
And I just, I liked the chemistry. I liked the writing storyline. This was maybe my favorite Alicia Witt movie of the last couple years. Mm-hmm. I thought she was very believable as the writer who was very passionate but insecure about her work. And I don't know. I really loved this one.
I liked it. And then there were some things I was like, okay. But, so what did you think about, first of all, the horrible boyfriend, Garth? I think he had a really big storyline. He was like recurring in every 10 minutes. You always saw Garth, but he was so annoying, purposely annoying. You know, you loved to hate him. But what were your thoughts about this Garth character?
Well, because I know we have Chessies, I can say this. He reminded me of Martin on Chesapeake Shores.
Yeah.
You guys are just going to have to deal with all the intersections of the Hallmark universe on this show, because all the movies and even some shows are intersecting. Garth was horrible. I thought it was hysterical and perfect the way she handled it at the end when he came and asked, can you basically make a connection for me? And she said, you're so funny. And left. He was awful.
He was terrible. I have it in my notes. Like, serious writer, like the whole breakup at the beginning. And his argument is like, I just want to be with a serious writer. I was like, are you kidding me? That's not a good enough excuse to have a rude Dear John letter to her.
The note was such a terrible way to break up.
I'm like, well, how horrible. And then how when they were having the writing meetings and the group writing and stuff, and he'd be like, hello writers, and Kim. And I'm like, I was like, come on. Yeah, how he would always single her out and degrade her and like pretty much demean her, really, saying like, you know, you're not a writer.
Well, next one. And the truth is, because of insecurities, it's already hard if you have to be in a career and in a relationship with someone in the same career field. You know what I mean? It's hard not to compare regardless. Yeah. But he was just insulting and demeaning.
He was awful. And he also threw away her script, Kim's script. I'm like, come on.
Oh, yeah. Which I wanted her to find out.
I know, and they never got
it. I wanted her to find out that he stooped so low as to throw. Stacey's right, he was a bully, and I wanted them to find out that he threw the script in the garbage.
I wanted that too, and I think that was another thing that I felt that was something that wasn't wrapped up, and we never had that reveal, because even Garth coming up to her at the end and asking for a connection to H.T. Cowell, I'm like, the audacity of that man. But her never finding out, it just wasn't fully resolved that.
And what about this Xmas at the Writers' Conference blog? This is just too much.
Exactly.
He was too much
like,
all around.
Sorry about what I wrote last night. And then Xmas. I'm like, are you kidding me? Garth was just horrible. He was a great antagonist in this film. I'll just say that. He was. They made him to be so dislikable, and he succeeded. But, I mean, I'm glad he kind of got his comeuppance a little bit in the end.
I don't think we ever got an apology from him.
No, we
didn't. He just had to acknowledge that he didn't give her credit.
Yes. But what did you think of the reveal of H.T. Cowell? Well, the whole pairing up with Kim and Zeke, and then eventually the reveal.
So I will say this, and I haven't looked at your notes to see what your recommendation is, if you liked this movie or if you have one. But I will say, it reminded me of the Hallmark movie, A Novel Romance.
I texted Marissa
one Saturday afternoon and said, A Novel Romance is on. I forgot. This is one of my favorites. If you haven't seen A Novel Romance, you should see it. And this reminded me of that. So in comparing those two, I didn't like the reveal and the way it all played out quite as much as A Novel Romance. I don't know. I didn't think it was... I didn't like the way it played out quite as much as that movie. But I also do understand Kim's character dealing with this author that I respect lied to me and has read my work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's intimidating.
Did you...
Laurie, we did. Yeah. We did know it was him.
Were you satisfied with the reveal, quote unquote, that he is actually H.T. Cowell?
I mean, it made sense.
Yeah,
we knew.
A lot of writers write with a pseudonym, but it.
You know what I was disappointed like is that he was just coming out with an anthology.
Yeah. Which we never got, or the
I think that's what I thought was wrapped up better in A Novel Romance. Is he writes a completely new work in that movie under his actual name, inspired by his romance,
and you see him actually promote it too.
Right, in this one, they ask about the anthology, and it's a disappointment.
Yeah, we literally never saw H.T. Cowell. All he did throughout the entire film was talk about it. Yet we never saw it physically. Saw it, the finished product at the end, which I think also would have been something.
And I will say he did lie, like the finance thing. It's not like he used some vague word, like in A Novel Romance he says consulting and he uses some vague terms that technically could be true.
Oh.
In this one he just flat out made up a story, so that's fair for her to be a little bit not thrilled.
But I think they were good for each other, especially in the situation that they were. Like, she was, I don't want to say a brand new writer, but she was a writer who wasn't as well-versed into this world yet. She wasn't established. And he was, who was just having writer's block. And they just helped each other become better writers in their
craft.
And
the typewriter was cute.
The typewriter was cute. The typing was not.
The whale noises were not.
The white noise.
And I do want to acknowledge, I told Marissa this, I appreciate when Hallmark gives us a nice love story for somebody who's been divorced, because it's so rare. Usually it's either a single person or somebody who was widowed, the widower, etc. I really appreciate, because divorced people are worthy of love too, you know.
I liked it.
So I appreciated that.
It was very real, because I did like his story of, you know, when he was married and happy that he was a successful writer, but then when that went away in his real life, so did his writing. I thought that was very true to, like, he lost his inspiration in his writing and his drive, and I thought that was very relatable and realistic. I mean, there were some parts of this film I liked, and some storylines just didn't seem fully complete or fully fleshed out.
I didn't think it was as... You're right. I didn't think it was as satisfying of an ending as others were when all was said and done. But I did think it was a very fun film. I thought it was a perfect Thanksgiving night movie. Yeah. And I would rather watch, and I love Alicia Witt. I love I'm Not Ready for Christmas. That song is still cemented into my brain from that year.
That's a great film.
And I love all Alicia Witt Hallmark movies, but I think this one might be my new Alicia favorite.
Okay, yeah. So this movie was based on a novel by Richard Paul Evans, who also did The Mistletoe Promise, which mm-hmm. came out last year, was one of the earlier films. And this is now The Mistletoe Inn. So I'm guessing he has a mistletoe series. So we might see another mistletoe movie next year.
Next year.
So look out for that. Some of my favorite moments in this was like the Ghost of Christmas Present, when she walked into the nice party and she's the only one dressed up, very Legally Blonde style. I enjoyed that. And her complete running and falling on the street was hysterical. I'm all for slapstick comedy, and I thought that was very well done. And one of my favorite lines was at the end when Zeke goes up to Kim and he's like, "I cannot chase after you. I'm a romance writer."
Like, that was a good one.
That was so good. So, yeah. Okay, all right. Moving on to the Hall of Fame movie that aired on both Hallmark Channel and Movies and Mysteries Channel at the same time. The Christmas Strain, starring Dermot Mulroney. Love him. Kimberly Paisley Williams, Danny Glover, Joan Cusack, and a lot of Hallmark stars in between. Your thoughts of this one?
Well, honestly, this one brought a lot of nostalgia for me. We had a talk last night about Hallmark Hall of Fame. Can you believe, you guys, there was a Hallmark subject that I knew something about that Marissa did not know? That is shocking and rare. So I will take the credit for it. No, but I grew up watching Hallmark Hall of Fame with my mother, and they all have a very specific feel. They're a little bit like darker in lighting. They're more serious. They're definitely even more so sometimes than Movies and Mysteries. They just have a different feel. And what I was telling Marissa is whenever you watch a Hallmark Hall of Fame, you've got, in case some of you DVR them all and don't realize this, you've got to make sure you watch the commercials,
like,
because it's all Hallmark commercials. It's the best commercials of the season, and you've got to watch. So it just really took me back to like a movie I would have watched in my childhood. I thought the ending wasn't my favorite, to be honest, because I thought it was such a beautiful story, and then we find out it was all produced. But still, you know, we still got the couple that was just acting did mm-hmm. actually fall for each other. So it was still satisfying in the end. And just the journey of getting there, I thought it was a perfect Hall of Fame movie. I was so satisfied with it. Let us know what you guys thought of Christmas Train.
I thought this was very solid Christmas film, just in general. It doesn't even have to be on the Hallmark Channel. You could watch this on any network and it'd be a really solid film. I liked it because I'm a big sucker for stories that have multiple storylines and how they all like intertwine mm-hmm. with each other, and kind of felt like that way in this. And it wasn't at all confusing, which ironically, there are other movies that only have like three people and it's confusing as all heck. And this one had a whole ensemble, but it was very, it flowed easily. They all were nice. They were all together and they made sense with how they all complemented each other in the storylines. Not once was it ever confusing or convoluted.
It made me want to ride a train.
Yeah.
Literally.
Have you been on a train?
When I was very little.
Okay. Trains are great. I love trains.
But, did you see Amtrak product placement?
Totally.
That's
Amtrak.
Not our typical Hallmark brand, but
but Amtrak is great if you guys are ever on the Amtrak. Yes.
Lori Pearson is correct about this. The ending did, you know what? There were two movies this weekend where there was something that surprised me. No, maybe three. There were more surprises than average for Hallmark Christmas movies this weekend, and this is one of them, that the ending was keeping us on our toes. Did you know it was all a movie? Did you all?
I didn't, because admittedly, I have not read the book by David Baldacci that this was based on. I didn't see the ending coming. Admittedly, I was like, okay, usually I can figure the things out within like, the first 10 minutes. But I thought because so many storylines were going on, it did a great job of setting like who could be the person who's stealing everything, who could be this, you know, that. And I didn't see that he actually, you know, we had, you know, Danny Glover's character who played Max. Max Powers was the one who orchestrated it all. I thought it was very smart and the reveal at the end that they found out on their own via script. It was all scripted.
And the loose ends were all tied.
Yes,
so
they
it
were.
Wasn't it wasn't a incomplete ending. Like, it all made sense. They tied it all together. I think I just like the movies where there's people that are loners for the holidays and they end up sitting somewhere having these conversations and meeting each other and bonding. And this was a whole movie of that, that again made me want to go on a train. And it had beautiful quotes. I wrote down two quotes. There was never a problem that could defeat Sunrise or Christmas, which the character John Kelly said his wife said. Yep. Loved that quote. So beautiful. And I also liked the quote, hope begins when you stand in the dark looking out at the light. So
yes.
It just was, it was a perfect, and the commercials, I'm glad you guys watched the commercials. It was just that Hallmark Hall of Fame experience.
Right. And I'm glad that the conflict in this film wasn't like the internal or the internal problem with one person to another, or like overheard conversation or misread text, or, you know, the one thing that it's one person towards another person that causes a conflict. The conflict was that they just got stranded in the winter snowstorm. But it was okay. It was nothing against the people. It was just the situation that was they were in.
Which is a different conflict than usual.
It is.
Again, just they changed it up a lot with this movie, which Hall of Fame tends to do. But that's one reason I liked it.
I thought the production of this film was very well done. Obviously, you have more recognizable names and Hollywood stars, quote unquote, for those who don't like Hollywood. Sorry. But we had... The lens that they used and the lighting, it wasn't harsh lighting. It was actually a well set up shot and a shallow depth of field. And there was just looking at it visually, it was a higher production type of film, which I really enjoyed. That's why it
looks really very cinematic.
Fit. Yeah, it didn't seem. It's not to say it doesn't fit on Hallmark. That's why I say you can play this anywhere. You can play this in movie theaters, and it's a solid film. I really, overall, I enjoyed it. And I liked how they traveled across the country because, it's a beautiful scenic route if you go via train. And I liked the different people and situations that were happening to all the, because everyone was likable, except for even Lelia, the girlfriend who came into the picture and stirred things up. She was dislikable, but even at the end, she was very likable, too. You're like, oh, okay, she's cool.
Because that is the one thing that the ending actually redeemed is her.
Yeah.
She got less obnoxious in the ending.
Yes, yes.
And I do have to point out, half the movies this week had chestnuts in them, and I just started writing this down and keeping track because, you guys, I don't remember chestnuts being a staple in the same way of gingerbread, snow. Oh, you know how you know it's Hall of Fame? Another reason? Oh. Keepsake ornaments.
Keepsake.
Not just the ornaments, but when they have the boxes and keepsake, mm-hmm. Hall of Fame. So there's trademarks that we've come to know. Do you guys remember chestnuts in the past? Because it started with The Sweetest Christmas, and I believe Lacey Chabert made a joke about chestnuts.
Really?
Was that The Sweetest Christmas, Lacey Chabert?
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the chestnuts have just continued and have been in at least 5 movies now. And I'm like, this will have to be added to everyone's drinking game because clearly chestnuts are here to stay on Hallmark. Boo, chestnuts,
boo, chestnuts.
Says Julie.
That's hysterical. I'm not the biggest fan of chestnuts either. But I did overall liked this movie. I watched it twice. That's how much I liked it. And I just like the different storylines that, intersected with each other. And I thought it was a very well-balanced film. And great acting, great writing. And David Baldacci also was an executive producer on this film. So, it was just high-quality production all around. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Of Christmas Train. Beautiful. Loved it.
Great
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. The next Hall of Fame movie is The Beach House, which is coming in the spring. So check out that when it airs. All right, let's talk about Switch for Christmas. A lot of Candace Cameron Bure. Your thoughts?
So much Candace. They
so
are trying
Candace.
To get us ready for Full House. Coming to Hallmark in January, if you didn't know. I just have to point out, I'm really doing, it appears, in this episode is comparing Hallmark things to one another. But did anyone else remember in A Christmas Detour when Candace Cameron Bray's character is on the plane with her big dream board and she writes for a bridal magazine and mm-hmm. she can't fit the dream board and it's her carry-on and it's a huge to-do? Well, one of the Candaces in this movie had a dream board, and I was like, what is it with them giving Candace Cameron Bure the dream boards?
Well, dream.
But I liked this movie. This was a great, I don't know, this was a great, like, family movie, not too serious, but also mm-hmm. not too heavy on the romance either. Like, this would definitely be one to watch with the kids who may not be into the drama or the romance as much, because it was just a fun family movie. Although it did have a lot of kissing. I had so much kissing.
It had early kisses, too, within, like, there was still, like, another half an hour or 45 minutes left to go of the movie. I was like, oh, we already got a kiss. There you go. Overall, it was fun. It was light. It was nice to see Natasha Bure also in this film, which her real daughter in this. I liked the kids were a big surprise to me, because the way that they established the kids and set them up, it was like, okay, they're not likable. They're not going to be like really big in this movie, but they were in on the storyline too, and which got them involved. And I'm glad she taught some obedience and discipline within these children. It's like, do laundry, do folding, you know. You can pour your own glass of darn milk, you know, stuff like that. That really bothered me. I was like, oh, millennials.
Well, I have to say about this movie, don't you think that, I wasn't expecting the kids to know.
Yeah, I liked that they knew, though.
Right. I liked that the kids knew. I liked that the dad knew and was like, obviously, I'm going to recognize my daughters.
Yeah.
But also, the reveals of this movie did not upset the men like I thought they would.
Right. The unconventional reveals of the identities. What were your thoughts of...
Well, we had just watched The Mistletoe Inn.
Yes.
And in The Mistletoe Inn, the reveal went over very, very badly. So I kind of thought it was nice that they realized these girls are not trying to mess with us. Mm-hmm. They didn't do it maliciously. They were almost too understanding maybe for realism, but I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. I was a fan of both of these guys. We had Greg and Tom Kinder. Admittedly, I thought Greg had better personality. And was a better setup character.
He was warmer than Tom, for sure.
Yeah, Greg was definitely a warmer character. And I took a liking to Greg more than Tom. But I liked both of them because they were both good guys. They were just good, genuine guys, which is, you know, great for Hallmark.
Yeah.
That formula works with the men. This movie was filmed in Salt Lake City, Utah, and like other, you know, Salt Lake Fairgrounds back in September to October. It only took them 17 days to film. And which is funny because we had
lots of film for Candace.
A lot of pictures of Candace's Instagram. I was following her, of course. I follow her, but that day she was posting a lot of things. It was pretty neat. So it's just crazy that the fast turnaround that Hallmark has, and I believe that we actually do have one or two of her back behind the scenes videos on her Insta stories that day.
It takes a lot of people to make a movie. Here is some of our crew, our fabulous director, and there's a whole lot of people out in that hallway. We're getting this together.
See, it's, you know, it takes a village to make a movie. You saw this scene only has literally one person in it, but there's like 30 people working mm-hmm. hard. And, I really enjoyed the production aspect. So I took I enjoyed that side of the filmmaking of this film. So let's move on to A Joyous Christmas. Thoughts of this one?
You know, it was
more serious.
It was more serious, but a comedy kind of at the start, and it was hilarious to watch because, you know, obviously I'm a life coach. I do speaking, and I get the bad aspects that they're kind of trying to mock or like, mm-hmm. you know, throw shade on a little bit, which I totally get. And I thought it was a nice journey to watch her go on of like. That I think everybody who's a leader should consider is, like, she really wanted to use her platform for good. And am I really helping? What an important question if you're going to say that you're in that kind of work, to make sure that you are really helping. So this movie, well, this movie overall had turns I didn't expect. Like, if it was on Hallmark Channel, it would have just played out with her and the guy planning the event. But because it's movies and mysteries, we have a near car accident, then we have Joy, we have the criminal record, which was an interesting element to be entered into it. We have the son, the adoption, the reveal of that. So very movies and mysteries, and quite a fun, unexpected ride to stay on.
I enjoyed this film. I was texting you because we were actually both watching it at the same time. Different places this time. But we were both watching it simultaneously. And I like this film because I think there was a lot of good, strong moments. And Bonnie Bedelia is fantastic. I love her. If you guys ever seen Parenthood, or if you haven't seen Parenthood, go watch it.
Watch
she,
it.
She plays the mother of the whole crazy Barry Ridman family. And she's just phenomenal. How she didn't get nominated for an Emmy, but I digress. Fantastic. She's I was already a fan of her being in this film. And she needs more Hallmark movies. But I liked her moment when she revealed her storyline, why she stole money when she was younger. And she had a very serious story, which I think is also very believable, where she was providing for her baby and couldn't keep up, and she had to give up for adoption because that happens a lot. And but she just wanted to provide a better future for this baby that she couldn't provide for. And I think her telling it was just great acting, great writing, and it not once did it ever feel unauthentic.
And there really was a lot going on, because I was just sitting here going through my notes of the movie. We haven't even talked about her storyline with her brother David and reconciling.
Yes.
There were many things going on.
Let's talk about David, the estranged brother David. That actor has been in a lot of Hallmark movies,
a lot,
too. He's based up in Canada. What did you think of the slow warming up to the brother and, like, rekindling that old relationship?
Well, I thought it was beautiful, and I thought even though there were multiple storylines, they did all go together because they were all about her opening up her heart to do something new with her events, you know, to get the woman at the store the tickets. In all ways, it was about her opening up her heart. So they did all go together. And I always love when families reconcile at Christmas. I mean, that's very, you know, quintessential Hallmark.
Yeah, and that's just Hallmark in and of itself. I liked it. I thought it was well done. I feel like this whole movie was more family related. The storylines are family.
Well, because we like that male lead in Christmas in Homestead.
Yes, Michael Rady. He's great. He played Jack.
And I came in and I said to you today, honestly, I didn't like him as in a romantic way in this movie quite as much as in Christmas in Homestead.
Why do you think that?
Like, probably because this was less romance focused.
Yeah.
It was probably because there was less chemistry. It was drama heavy, and we just had so many things that had to happen besides the romance.
What did you think of this whole Rachel Kennedy and her book and her whole motivational speaking tour event that she was doing, coming back to her hometown?
Well, I will say it did get so over the top Christmas pageant that I was like, but what is she speaking about? Like, I'm glad there's a choir singing Silent Night. But I get it. And I get the journey she was on. And I thought it was beautiful in how many ways she opened up her heart. So great movie. Definitely going to watch again.
I liked it. And there was a good message, especially during the moment where Joy saved Rachel, and she had one of the best lines, like, do something, help. Well, how the way you can help is help someone else.
And her oxygen mask line was food for thought.
Yes. That's actually something that we say in our own AfterBuzz seminars. Like, you can't help others until you help yourself first. And we use the actual oxygen mask.
The oxygen mask
as a
thing.
Reference.
And she makes, yeah,
true.
And she makes a,
like,
good point about
sometimes
it.
Sometimes in situations you have to be I don't want to say selfish, but, like, you have to think about yourself first before you can do something else for someone else. I liked it. So my movie suggestion, another serious, but one of my all-time favorite films of all freaking time, Pay It Forward, because it has the exact same message. Don't give back in a sense, like, if the way that you can help is also paying it forward, is like doing something good for someone else. Not paying back, but paying it forward. Amazing, amazing, amazing film. I literally can quote that whole film. So good. I did enjoy Joyous Christmas. I love, my favorite part was when they were singing on the piano. And
yes.
I was like, he has a great singing voice.
And Trish is right. The movies and mysteries ones, the drama ones, have been very strong this year.
Yes. All right. So let's get to Finding Santa. And we have special guest Julie Schumann-Wolf, who will be joining us. Your thoughts about that one while we wait for her.
While we wait for Julie. I loved Finding Santa. It was such a good movie. This is the same thing I told Julie when we were talking about Marry Me at Christmas, is thank you for making it easy for us to do an interview and talk about these movies, because they actually are good.
Yes.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
I just hear you say you like the movie. That makes me happy.
I loved this movie.
Yes,
well, you must be saying that because I'm on your show, though.
No. I loved this movie.
I'm so glad.
I really enjoyed it.
I told Marissa today, I said, it had so many swoon-worthy moments in it, which I love. And you were so right about Eric. Oh my gosh, what a lead.
Right? He's just, yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, he's very, I liked him even more when he was letting himself be funny. I thought he was just even more attractive when he finally kind of lightened
right.
up a little bit.
Well, the thing about it is, I know him from a movie in last decade where he played this like very boring, overly clean cut guy. So it was nice to see him in this role, because he was still attractive in the old movie, but not like charming and genuine and whatever like he was in this movie.
Right, exactly. I thought Jodie was great.
I thought she was fantastic, and this is her first film for Hallmark.
Yeah, I mean, they had, you know, I guess Kimmy Gibbler's next for Hallmark movies. But I thought she did a great job. She found all the comedy and is exactly how I pictured it in my head. I was really happy. I was watching the dailies on this one and just couldn't. I was really, really happy from what I saw. And then when it all came together. I got to watch an early cut where it's always strange to watch an early cut without the music it's paced a little different and it feels, you know, it's not quite gelled together. And I still liked it even then. So I'm happy with it.
Right.
Sure.
The last time we talked to you, you had just watched a cut of this film, but now seeing the full thing in its entirety, all completed, what were your thoughts of this one? Did it turn out exactly how, or like as much as you, as, and as well as you thought it would be?
Yeah, it did. It actually did. The casting was phenomenal in this one to me. And now you guys know what I was talking about. Clint, right?
Clint, yeah.
Yes.
This guy.
That's like, he was amazing. I sort of just want to do a movie about Clint, but it'll never happen. But like, that character just cracked me up. And even the casting of Tom, the original Santa, was great. Just everybody. And then her best friend was super cute. She was adorable.
Yeah. I mean, I loved all the characters in the
film. Clint is someone I went to college with. Not literally the actor. I just mean so real, so believable. Like, we all went to college with a Clint.
I actually dated a Clint.
Oh, no.
Oh, even worse.
That, you know, it's always nice to sort of, you know, release these things.
Right.
It's cathartic.
Well, and we knew from talking to you last time that you like putting the comedy in romantic comedies. Mm-hmm. And I think that was certainly true. I thought her rideshare plan was hilarious, or whatever the word they called the Uber app, where she, I think they said Uber, right?
At they some said point. Uber. They actually did. Sort of free publicity for Uber.
For Uber. But her plan of she's just going to stand out there and order an Uber and now he's stuck. I thought that was hysterical and genius.
Thank you. Thank you. My favorite scene between the two actually was the fighting over the
radio.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
And that was the case in point. The comedy moments were all over this movie like that.
Oh, thanks. I'm, you know, that it's funny because a first draft is sort of just, you know, we call it the barf draft, if you really want to know, or the vomit draft is when you just going, getting the story out there so you know it all fits and you know it all makes sense. And so my favorite part is not that part, obviously. No one likes to barf. But I really like putting – that's where all that little comedy stuff comes in, like the second or third draft where you really start to kind of feel who the people are. Originally, this idea was just Hallmark saying we need kind of a road trippy Christmas movie. That's it. That was the directive. Okay. Sort of a road trip. That was it.
Mm. So like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but
yeah, but actually once I turned in the first draft, there was too much road trip. Uh-huh. So that's actually what you saw is more of a scaled down road trip. We put a lot more kind of in the towns instead of in the car, because everybody realized after the first draft that it's almost impossible to shoot that much on the road in that little time. I think they had 15 days to shoot it.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, and this movie filmed, so I actually have two questions. This movie filmed not that long ago. It was only like a month ago. Seriously, no. They were still filming while I was going to Vancouver for HFR. Mm-hmm. So it's not that long ago. So that was such a quick turnaround.
It was great. I'm sure I give all the credit to David Winning, the director, and the editors and everybody else in production, because to turn it around that fast and to have it turn out well is a miracle. It really was amazing what they did.
Yeah, Hallmark is great as that. So with the quick turnaround, how long ago did you actually write this?
Well, it started, I think I started writing it, I want to say in the spring. But, you know, basically things get put on the back burner. Everything sort of, you know, I had a summer movie, so that kind of went to the front of my list of things to work on because that was being shot and greenlit. And so finally, eventually, everybody got into Christmas movie mode at the end of the summer, and that's when all the kind of the, you know, the real nitty gritty writing happened to make sure it was greenlit and ready for production, and you know, it needed to be in the right form by a certain day, or it just wasn't going to happen. So, right. You know, it gets a little intense at the end when you're trying to get something ready for production, but that's sort of the nature of the beast.
It's crunch time. Crunch time.
Yeah.
What were your reactions when you first found out that Jodie Sweetin was casted in your film?
I was very excited because I knew that it automatically would bring a lot more viewers to Hallmark or to the Christmas movies that may not have tuned in. And just because already Candace is there and Laurie and everybody else, I thought it just seemed like a great natural fit for Hallmark. So I was very happy to have her there. It was great.
I have a question. Did you research Santa schools? Are they a thing? How many are there?
Yes. And you know what? I talked to a very nice gentleman named Tom Valent. So I named the character Tom after him. And he owned a Santa school in Michigan. And we just chit-chatted a little bit. And what I really got from him was that how seriously they take this role and what they do and how It is heartfelt and real for these guys representing the real Santa, and they take it as seriously as anybody takes any like a job. You know, it's just like the joy that they feel is real for them. And I just thought I could really hear that coming from him, and I wanted to express that in the movie for something that Ben hadn't yet found out and that he got a taste of at the house with the kids when he decided to come through and be Santa the first time. But this man, Tom did own a Santa school in Michigan. Yeah.
That's so cool because it is kind of an art form. You can't just like dress up. You actually have to be the part.
You do. And if, you know, that was sort of the point of the auditions is that, you know, you just know it when you see it, if someone can represent the real Santa or not.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know what it reminded me of is how people who do characters at Disney parks, there's only one everything, only one Rapunzel, etc., and it's real. And the spreading of joy to people is a very real thing. And I like, A, that's just unique for Hallmark. We've had movies with Santa Claus, Annie Claus, Santa Claus's son, but the Santa school thing, to my knowledge, is very new for Hallmark. Also, though, it didn't come across as, like, cheesy. It did come across as a very genuine, they really do take this seriously thing, and I liked it. It was
always
so unique.
Stay in character when you're in the suit.
Right. Don't be watching
that's
the game.
Disney. That's also true for the Disney characters.
Exactly. Rapunzel's not going to be watching the pregame.
Right. Like Clint. He just wanted to watch his football game.
There was some stuff that got cut from Clint that was really probably a little too bawdy for Hallmark. Of him kind of hitting on chicks at the ugly sweater party.
I wish we had that footage. That's fun.
I do too. It's him just kind of going, you know, I'm Santa, right? You know, that kind of stuff. But just really funny. Really cute. The other thing that got cut that I'm sad about, which is, it was a totally legit cut because it didn't really matter. But I made up a Christmas food, a Christmas snack, and it was Christmas dinner on a stick. And it was going to be, and I was just excited to see them make it. I think they actually did make it, but it got cut, which would be like a roast beef and a little potato and some, like a little fruit, and then a piece of pumpkin pie and some whipped cream on a skewer.
Really? Like a shish kebab. That's an interesting mix.
Like fair food.
Yeah, that's a very interesting mix of food.
Oh, and a biscuit. God, don't let me forget the biscuit. So I feel like that is maybe like my second career. I'm gonna buy a food truck and drive around selling Christmas dinner on a stick.
Hey, that would be successful.
If this whole Hallmark thing doesn't pan out.
Oh, I'm sure it's panning. It's panning out for you quite well because your movies are phenomenal.
Thanks.
Actually, Stacey Matthews asked a good question in the live chat. You mentioned that there was moments where you actually had to move the, like, take scenes away out of the car and mm-hmm. and into the town. Like, what kind of storylines? Was there anything, like, originally in the car that was actually now in, you know?
There was, at one point, well, the story was always the same. And it was... There was at one point, and we went through a few permutations of this, but I think at one point they were actually in New York City, and she was going to see Christmas sort of in New York for the first time because she's been sort of stuck in her...
Because it was a road trip.
Yeah, so she was actually in New York City, and he took her up to a rooftop, like the department store where he was buddies with the department store Santa who was in his school with him and got, you know, secret entrance and took her to the top of the building. So there's all this stuff. It didn't really service the story about the town and the parade and all that. So we just really wanted to get it back to the town. But at some point there was a New York City scene and I was trying to sort of use the map and go up, you know, go from Boston all the way down. Okay. And hit all the places. And then the original, I think I had it in maybe Virginia first. So it was going to go like Boston, Connecticut, New York, and then Virginia. That's what I was going to do. But
that's definitely a road trip then.
Yeah, but then again, it's like impossible. It was impossible to film that much.
Can we talk about the home that they went to? I wrote down immediately, this is one of the most stunning homes I've ever seen in a Hallmark movie.
I don't know whose house that was, but, you know.
But gorgeous. It was so cozy gorgeous. At night with the fire. It was so beautiful in the daytime. I was like, this is my new Hallmark dream home for the winter.
It looked amazing. And I don't think, I mean, just the snow falling outside, it just looked so good. You know, I moved to Connecticut to have that, you know, that moment of like looking out my window and having snow fall outside. It has yet to happen.
Oh, you didn't get that at Thanksgiving?
It's cold. I was on a cruise at Thanksgiving.
I was fair.
Good for you.
So I did not get the snow, but this morning we saw three flurries, and I was very excited. I mean, like really, really excited about three little tiny flakes of snow.
Well, you're getting there. You're definitely getting there. One of my favorite things in this film, you had this whole story about, you know, chasing your dreams or putting your dreams on the back burner to do other things to make other people happy, but not focusing on yourself. And like, it's not too late to chase your dreams. What were your thoughts of like writing this storyline and like getting that message out there? Because I think that's very important and relatable for a lot of people.
What I always say, a lot of people ask if, you know, it's too late to become a writer or anything. And I say, if you sit down and you write something and you work on it and you finish it, then you're a writer. Whether or not it gets on television or gets published, that doesn't matter. But if that's something that you have felt like, you know, you've wanted to pursue but never did, then there shouldn't be, you know, nothing can stop you from doing that. So I always feel like, you know, a lot of people come to like Hollywood and decide that they're going to be writers, but don't really have the wherewithal to sit down and do it. Mm-hmm. But I honestly think if you're willing to sort of work, you can still do anything. It doesn't matter how late you start. So, I mean, I encourage everybody, even if they think they're too old or whatever, I mean, there's always, look how much there's always room for more if you're talented at something. It doesn't matter how late you start.
Right. This is like I thought it was such a great message to put out there in the world, because I think a lot of people don't realize it until someone else tells them, and that's what the friend did, and that's what and I'm sorry, I'm completely blanking it. That's what Ben did, you know. It helps when other, like, that third party tells you and makes you realize. And I think that was very well done in this.
And thank you. And then, Ben, you know, the children's book thing is a little bit about my real life. My husband wrote a children's book, you know, and it only got published a couple of years ago. And he's been taught, you know, wanting to write and be a professional writer for a long time. And then this children's book happened because he found the right thing to write about. And that's what I was trying to get across, you know, with Ben, too. It's, you know...
He needed the theme.
Wait, what was that?
He needed the theme, the like subject.
He needed to know, like, he needed somebody to help him guide, which, you know, what he was really going to be good at, and so that when the opportunity presented itself, he was ready, and that was her.
I do have to say, Julie, you booed the chestnuts earlier in the chat, but I had my chestnut alert on your movie as well. So please explain the chestnuts that you booed.
I did put that in the movie. I just tend to put things that I feel personally sometimes in movies for no reason. Case in point, like my love for ranch dressing makes it in a lot of movies. Yes. I just really like it. But we were in New York and I was really, really excited. It was my first time in New York as an adult years ago. And I was super excited about chestnuts, and I just thought they were the most vile thing ever. And it kind of ruined like that song for me, like everything about it. But I don't know. Maybe I should try them again. But
that's a story. You know, your taste buds change every 7 years, so
that's right.
It might be time for you to try it again.
Maybe I'll try chestnuts and I'll try curry.
And we'll try Christmas dinner on a stick, which people are requesting their recipe for.
Yes. What about the eggnog? There was a famous recipe eggnog in this film.
Yes. Did you guys see? So my husband actually decided to go on Google and see what would happen, and it did autocomplete after the movie aired.
Really?
Because so many people searched for it.
What a testament to how many people were watching Finding Santa.
Auto-completing, even though it's not real.
That's awesome.
Isn't that funny?
So yeah. They're not going to find a recipe. How sad. They're not going to find the secret spices.
No. The Long family. So I have a lot of friends' names in this one, as you know. But the Long family is my best friend's maiden name and like kind of my second mother. And then Barbado is the grandmother at the beginning. And then Grace and Caroline are my friend's kids. So the Long family was just a shout out to my friends. So I'm sorry there is no Long family secret eggnog recipe. My secret eggnog recipe is going to the grocery store and buying a jug of eggnog.
Yes, in the carton.
That's it. Yep. Yeah. That's it.
I'm the exact same. Also, that goes with my other question. How's that Marissa character coming along? How's that Marissa character coming along?
Oh my gosh. Wait, didn't I send it to you?
We agreed last time you were on. I know, on but that I you think were going to write a Marissa character.
I sent you a little piece of dialogue with your name. It's real. It's happening.
Yes.
It's in there. So is Steven, by the way. It's in there. I can't tell you in what. I cannot tell you what.
But something.
Okay.
It's in something.
So you do have movies in the works, but you can't tell us yet.
Yes, what I've been doing is giving very vague descriptions, like Italy, beef, high school, and weddings. How's that for? That's super vague. I know, but I don't want to get in trouble.
That's great. I'm great at mysteries, so I could probably put this together.
it's a Hallmark mystery of our own.
Yes,
it's all in one movie, actually. High school, beef. Italy. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, great. So, because you can't talk about the movies, can you tell us what time of the year they're coming out, or like the season?
We're waiting to hear if we are greenlit on when to shoot at the beginning of the year. And there's one that's, you know, what happens is you write something. Let's say I just wrote something that had a spring theme to it, which is fine. But then if it ends up getting moved to summer, I just go through it and change it to summer. You know, some movies you can do that too, and some you can't. Obviously, you can't change a Christmas movie really to anything else. But so we're looking at like a spring one and a fall one and a Christmas one and one for next year too, I think.
Awesome. Yeah. So you're a busy woman.
Very busy, happy and as can be to be busy.
I mean, this is so great. I really did enjoy this film. I think the writing was authentic. The relationships and the messages were very believable and relatable. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was a very great film.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
It was my birthday movie by accident because my birthday was on Black Friday. So I couldn't have asked for a better birthday movie.
Oh my gosh. That's what I was hoping. Everybody would get really tired after shopping and then settle in to watch.
To watch it. Yeah.
I think from what I've heard, the ratings were pretty good for Friday, especially. So I look forward. I think they're coming out tomorrow. So we'll see. We'll see the official word, but I think it did okay. I think it did pretty well.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm sure you did. I mean, you also had Jodie Sweetin and Candace introduce the movie. So
and everyone's Googling that eggnog.
They have a following.
Maybe I should just do a fake page like they do on other shows where they just have an entire, like, ready-to-go web page. I totally should have done that. Man.
That's for your next film.
I need like a PR.
It could have redirected to buy other movies Julie has written on DVD here.
That's, yeah. See?
There you go. We have so much for you. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. We'll just have you on for all of your movies that come out. So seriously, I'm looking forward to every single one.
That'd be great. Eventually, I'll be out there for TCAs in January, so maybe we'll see you in person.
Yeah, we should meet up, have dinner. We're making this a thing, you guys.
Absolutely.
This is live. All right.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Julie. Okay. I hope you had a good, great Thanksgiving and a great Christmas. We'll definitely be talking soon. And thanks so much for joining us and for the great Finding Santa movie.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right. Awesome. I really did enjoy this film. I watched it twice. It's just like good humor, good writing, good acting, balanced throughout. All right. So that's it. We talked about six films. Look at that.
Woo!
And next week, we do have to wrap, but we're like really quickly, we'll just talk about our upcoming movies because we gotta go. So our first movie upcoming, we have Christmas in Evergreen that stars Ashley Williams, Teddy Sears, and Barbara Niven, our good friend. That airs Saturday, December 2nd at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. I should have prefaced, like, early before we even started doing all these that I have the East Coast feed, so I put East Coast time for all these movies. So obviously you guys have to check your local providers for when they air in your area. So I always put 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All right, our second one
the only one watching it at 5 p.m. Pacific.
I am. Our second film we have is Christmas in Angels Falls. That's on Movies and Mysteries, starring Paul Green, love him, Rachel Boston, love her, and Beau Bridges, everyone loves him. That's Saturday, December 2nd at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then our third one is Christmas at Holly Lodge, starring Allison Sweeney, Jordan Bridges, Cheryl Lee Ralph. That airs Sunday, December 3rd at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. And finally, we have Magical Christmas Ornaments. That's on Movies and Mysteries, starring Jessica Lowndes and our awesome Brendan Penny from Chesapeake Shores.
Wonderful Brendan.
That's Sunday, December 3rd at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Whew, great show, everybody. A lot to talk about. We got to get out of here. In the meantime, where can everyone follow you? Stefan?
Yes, Dr. Lovegrove on Twitter and Instagram. Come say hi. Come talk Christmas movies.
Yes, and thank you, everyone, for following and watching. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. Follow everyone at AfterBuzzTV, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms. Follow Julie Schumann Wolf at Sherm Wolf on Twitter and Facebook. She's everywhere. She's awesome. And she has a lot more movies coming in the future. And so do we.
And a Marissa and a Stefan that we'll talk about in the future.
I'm excited for that too. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
It's the sturdy kind.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.